Thank you very much, Brother Larry, for the song service tonight. And I kind of enjoyed this last song. I thought Mary Martha might talk you into that. But she seemed to know it pretty well, so. Hey, we got through it. It might not be all right, but we got through it. I like it. I am a child of the King. And thank God I am. I tell you what, you look around this world, and you will see some really, really strange things. And it just makes you sit back and adore the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Because, man, I sure would hate to be like they are. I really would. I pity them. You have to pity them.
Pastor, can I relate to what you're talking about, Child of the King, real quick? I seen a post yesterday on Facebook. It showed a group in India, of all places.
Uh-huh.
This young girl had went to a Christian prayer service. Well, of course, you know, they're Hindu and all that. The family found out, they put her out in the square in a spectacle and literally beat her and then set her on fire. And I mean, it's complete, it's just so cruel.
I know. Poor, you know. What kind of a religion is that? You know, we can't criticize any of them anymore for what they do. What they do is okay as long as you're not a Christian. It's sad. I'm telling you, we live in a sad, sad society, and people that call themselves religious, people that are supposed to be people of love, is nothing but people of hate. And it's sad. We watched a movie one time where a young lady from her parents were Muslim, and she had dated a young man that her father did not approve with. And she was like 18 or 19, whatever she was. And this young man was going to get married, and he took his daughter and wife on vacation and she agreed to go on vacation with him before they got married, and he killed them. He killed them, his daughter and wife, both. And these people call themselves religious. We live in a sick, sick world, folks. We really do. And I'll tell you what, you thank God every day that you know Jesus Christ, your Savior. Because as you read this chapter in chapter 2 of Ephesians, the scripture concludes that God saved your soul. People can say what they want, they can argue what they want, they can debate what they want. But you read the Word of God, and God tells you that He saved your soul. None can come up to my Father unless He draws them. Or none can come up to me unless the Father draws them. What's that tell you? In chapter 2 of Ephesians, we start in verse 11, but we didn't get to any of it really this morning. And we're going to do verse 11 tonight. Verse 12 I need to spend a little more time on. So I'm going to finish up verse 11 where I started this morning. In verse 11 he says, "Wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." If you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, if God has not saved you, you have no hope. These are the people we're talking about that's religious. These are the people that we can't understand them. We cannot comprehend why they do these things. We can't comprehend it because we're not that way. The Lord tells us to love our enemy, to pray for them that despitefully use us. That's what God tells us. Other religions tell you to hate them, the infidels, to kill them. That's not what God says. But to us, God loved us before the foundation of the world. God chose you to be His if you're saved tonight. And it is because of that love, it is because of His election, it is because of His grace and mercy toward you that you are not without Christ and you are not without God in this world. He starts out in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that being in times past Gentiles." We want to start right here with what Paul starts with in verse 11. It says, "Wherefore remember." Wherefore remember. I can remember years ago at the Country Baptist Church, a preacher coming through, and he impressed me in a message. I can't remember who he was. But he was a preacher I know. I just can't remember which one he was. And he said in his message, always remember the word but. It might have been, I'll tell you who it might have been. It might have been Brother Pugh. But he said, always remember the but, word but in the Bible. Because any time God says the word but in the Bible, it's always followed with a powerful statement that's going to come next. The Lord tells us another powerful word here, and it's wherefore remember. Here the word wherefore means something very powerful. Something powerful to remember. One, God wants us to remember all that has been said to us thus far. When Paul says wherefore remember, he's saying go back. Go back to verse 1. And you think about these things from 1 to 3. You think about these things from 4 to 8 and 9. And you think about these things in verse 10. Paul says, you go back and you remember what you were. Because that's what Paul's telling us again here. Paul is, in another way, telling us what he's already told us in verses 1, 2, and 3. That without Christ, we're not loved of God. Until you're saved, you don't know that you're loved of God. That's how you know you're loved of God, when you're saved. We don't please God. We do nothing for God. And God gets nothing from anything we do. Second, he wants us to remember how lost we were in verses 1 through 3. Second, third, he wants us to remember his grace, his mercy, and his love that saved us with verses 4 through 9. And fourth, he wants us to remember that everything we are as Christians, he has ordained it. It's his ordained will. He has caused it to come about, caused it to be. That's beautiful. I don't care how you look at it, folks. That's the beauty in understanding the truth of the Word of God. It's things like that are so beautiful to a believer. What God has done for us in our lives. Everything He's done for us. Everything in your life, God has ordained it to be. He wants us to remember that without Him, without His Son Jesus Christ, and without all their work for us, we are dead, we are lost, and we are going to hell without that. God wants you to remember because God wants you to wake up every day of your life and praise Him that you're saved. And He deserves that. God wants us to remember so that we can praise His Son, Jesus Christ, for everything He's done for us. It is good for the Christian to remember what they were and where they came from. Never forget what you were and where you come from. It makes you more happy, makes you more glad, it makes your heart rejoice that you know Jesus Christ, your Savior. He goes on in verse 11. He says, and being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. Whether he's talking about Gentiles or Jews here, the Gentiles were considered by the Jews as the worst of the worst. And we ought not ever think of the Jews that way. Israel is God's chosen nation. And we as Christians ought to always have a love in our hearts for the Jews. No matter what God does with them, they are God's chosen nation. And therefore, we ought to respect them unlike they did us as Gentiles. I remember back in years past hearing Baptist preachers talk about the Jews, how they crucified Jesus. You know who crucified Jesus? I did. I'm responsible for Jesus Christ being crucified, and thank God he did. Jesus died for my sins. They just did what God ordained them to do in time. But thank God that God ordained it to be. Because if Jesus don't get crucified, we're eternally lost. Without the blood to wash our sins away, we have our sins to account for. So we can't get caught up in these feelings about those that crucified Christ. Do you know that some of them folks were saved? Acts 3. Some of those folks were saved later on. Like the centurion. Remember when Jesus was crucified and the centurion said, oh my, we just crucified the Son of God. Yes, you did. That's who you crucified. But thank God he recognized that. Isn't that wonderful? But he says, being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh. So what does this mean, in the past? At this time, all lost people are compared to Gentiles because the Gentiles were considered to be the worst of all the people on the earth. The Jews always thought of themselves as being God's elect, and God's love was only for them. But as we saw, they were wrong. Thank God they were. They were so blessed. And we as Christians, as I've said this many times before, Christians need to study the Jews. They need to study the Israelites. And they need to learn what not to do. Because what the Israelites did, their reaction to God's love, mercy and grace was awful. He got them out of slavery with Moses and Aaron. He killed those that had them enslaved. He took them up and gave them a light to guide them, and rained down manna from on heaven to feed them. Every day of the time they were there, God rained down manna from heaven to feed them. He made covenants with their people. He made promises to them. And God never failed in any of them. And look what Israelites did to repay the Lord. They still worship false idols. You know why? They were lost. They didn't understand. They didn't comprehend. So God elected to use Gentiles in the New Testament. And he did. And thank God that he did, because that's what I am. And we have made better with the scriptures and with the promises and things that God has given to us than they have. We have done God's will. But still, that's nothing to brag about, is it? Because everything we do is ordained of God. But thank God that he did. Brother Oscar Mink said, Paul says to the Gentile believers, ye were in the eyes of the Jews contemptible and unsavable. While the Jews were correct in their estimation whereby they concealed that the Gentiles were contemptible in the God's sight, as they were in nature, they were wrong in concluding that the covenant of election excluded all Gentiles. Brother Meek went on to say, this is exactly what God was saying in John 3:16, This is exactly what God was saying in John 3:16 by the word world. He loves a remnant of the entire world. He don't just love the Gentiles, the Jews. He loves also Gentiles, which Gentiles covers everyone outside of the Jews. We talked this morning about God making a fold before the foundation of the world, and God putting every one of the elect, whether you're Gentile or Jew, whoever God chose to be his children, God put them in that fold. It is this fold that the children of God, the elect of God, exited through the fall of Adam. And it is this fold that Jesus finds us, saves us, and takes us back to. He's the shepherd of the fold. And we found out this morning in John that there's more of that fold that's outside the fold, and Jesus made them part of that fold, allowing us all to be part of that one fold. With God, everything is about oneness. Oneness. Because that's what God is. He's oneness. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Therefore, he's created a church in the New Testament and called it oneness. We are to be one. Act as one. Think as one. Follow and lead as one. Do as one. He says, if one member cries, you cry with them. If one member's happy, you're happy with them. If one member has pains, you have pains with them. You are one body. And that body is not anything less than the body of Jesus Christ. So both the Jews and the Gentiles were depraved. Because Paul told us, wherefore remember. And he told us in verse 12 that at the times ye were without Christ, he says it, and then he goes to the end, and without God in the world. That's what you were, whether you're Jew or Gentile, everybody has to be saved. Everybody has to be saved by Jesus Christ. Everybody has to be washed in the blood of Christ. No matter who you are. And when we are then the children of God. We have so much to look forward to. So much to be excited. I'm excited when I hear about my brothers and sisters leaving this world. I was excited for Brother Charlie Andrews when he went home to be with the Lord. I'm always excited when my brothers and sisters, don't be sad for them. If they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they've been washed in the blood, don't be sad for them. You be happy for them. You only could dream of being where they are. But one day you will be there, won't you? One day we will all be there, won't we, that know Jesus as our Savior. Romans 10, if you will. In the Old Testament, the Lord used the Jews. And in the New Testament, he uses the Gentiles. See, that's what the big thing was coming out of the Old Testament into the New Testament, is to separate, and the Lord to separate, the things from the Jews and give it all to the Gentiles. These Jews didn't think that Gentiles could ever be saved, as Brother Mink told us, because they were the worst of the worst, which is everybody outside of Jews. But what they didn't realize, I guess, is they're as bad as we are. A sinner is a sinner. One sin, you know, we try to separate things, and we try to separate sin sometimes as well. You know, if you take a little change out of your mother's purse, it's not quite as bad as, you know, going out and stealing from a store. It is. It's just as bad. It's just as bad to lie, cheat, or steal as it is to do anything else. A sin is a sin. And one sin, you're guilty of all, the Lord said. But it doesn't matter if they're Old Testament Jews or New Testament Gentiles. The one thing we must understand is that we are all one in Christ. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. None. There really isn't. We're all sinners. We're all totally depraved. We're all going to hell if Jesus Christ don't save us. There's no difference. And then he says a very powerful statement. For the same Lord is over all. The same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. I love this scripture. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've had Armenians ask me what that whosoever means. It means whoever will. That's what it means. And then I asked them, who will? Who will call? But God says that the people will not call. He says they reject him. They will not call upon him. They don't want to be saved. It's not in their heart to be saved. If you don't know you're sick, you're not going to go to the doctor. If you don't know that you're lost, you're not going to go to the Savior. So whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Are these folks here Jews or Gentiles? He says in our scriptures that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, that by which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. God did not use the term like Jews. Gentiles. He used the name that they are Gentiles. He said, you being Gentiles in the flesh. Meaning there's no difference. None. We're all the same, folks. It don't matter who we are. It don't matter whether we're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. We're all depraved. Everything Paul said in verse 1, 2, and 3 applies to everybody. But the things Paul said in verse 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 applies to the elect of God, those chosen by God before the foundation of the world, that only he can choose. and only He will save. People don't have the ability to come to Christ on their own. No one has a certain favor from God because of their nationality. God didn't love just the Jews. He also loves Gentiles. And that's what He meant in John 3:16. The Jews lived just as bad a life as Gentiles. They sit over there now, they think they're more religious. They think they're more wonderful than everybody else, that they're more knowledgeable than everybody else. And most of them doesn't realize that they're sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior is the one that they crucified, and His name is Jesus. They still live like Gentiles in their land. They still don't love Jesus. And until they do love Jesus, and they won't, until the times of the Gentiles, Romans 11, has come to an end. That's when Jesus returns. And then a remnant of them will come to love Jesus. But until God calls them, they cannot answer. Until God calls Gentiles, they cannot answer. We're all like the uncircumcised Gentiles. We're all lost until God saves our souls. We're all worthless until God saves our souls. And when He does, it becomes a very, very wonderful time, doesn't it? I tell you, it does. I love being a saved man. I love being a Christian. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. I mean, if you were in the church right now, where would you be? I love being here. I love every time we come to church. I love every time we meet, every time we get together. Because I feel like in the Lord's house that I am with family. That's how I feel. That's the reason I love the Lord. I love the church so much. All right, next week we'll pick up where we left off today.